But you're a programming major, so you might as well learn all the language.
Yeah.
Okay, my website is www.pgrosser.net. Okay, so go into my website. My email, I'll remember it this time.
Smart board.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight out of, I think it's 21. Okay, that's my email, and that's the backup. And for your own security, you should send it to both my email and my backup, just in case something goes wrong, because my email gets downloaded to my hard drive. And if my hard drive goes and I haven't backed up for a week, we have a problem. So if you send it to the backup, that kind of covers you. The other thing that I definitely should mention is that you should save all of your homework until you get a grade in the course, and that applies to any course you ever take. Save the homework until you get a grade. So if the instructor says, I don't have this, you can pull it out and send them to them. Okay? So save it and then send it on. Okay. If you go to my website and click on CIS 156, this is where we are. Okay. This is a class in Visual Basic. It is taught using Visual Studio, which is Microsoft's product. And Visual Studio can be used for other languages as well. You can use it for C. You can also use it, interestingly enough, for PHP, I discovered, and you can use it for just about anything. So Visual Studio, especially with the change in Microsoft, has become very open and can be used for a lot. They're not as territorial as they once were. So, if you buy the book, which you should do, there is a student version, or actually I think there's a free whole version in the back of the book that you can install on your computer at home. If not, you can get the Express version by going to Microsoft, and you can get the Express version, and that's fine for this class, and that's free. So you can go download the Express version and have it for free. Okay, yeah.
Will the 2013 Visual Studio work? Because I already have that on my computer.
Try sending me something and see if it works.
I've been sending stuff to you in 2013, so it worked.
In 2012,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have 2013, but it's not on the computer that's always on.
Yeah.
So I just as soon get stuff on the computer that's always on.
Yeah.
And I stuck with 2012 because the book was with 2012, and it just makes more sense to stay with the book. For this course, I don't think it will make any difference whatsoever. You know, in the advanced course, then there were some things in 2013, but for this course, I don't think it makes any difference. Well, that's why I said send me something and see, but he says he's been sending me. Now, do you save it as 2012 and 13? Just send it
just
and it opens fine.
And I bet something will pop up for you that says newer version has been updated. You just hit the button and it just goes right on through.
Okay.
So, honestly, you haven't changed.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, my examples are largely in 2010, because there wasn't that big a change between 10 and 12, and so I didn't redo all the examples in 12.
I tried installing 12 on my, I use an example of Moisten for this course, and it just, I couldn't get it to install.
I don't know why.
I could get 2010 to install. It says something about the download.
Yeah, if you try and download it, you actually can download or burn it to a CD.
If you're going in through DreamSpec, if you're going in through DreamSpec, okay. If you just go and download it, the Express version at Microsoft, and I should have looked up the address, but I didn't. I'll do that and post it up there. But
it has something in the installer that you're supposed to be able to bypass the CD.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I
had
burned
to
the CD.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say it doesn't work.
There's a way to burn it to the CD. It's once it gets in there, it's all squared away. But you have to do it specifically. Like, it's through their Microsoft wizard thing. It's like this little menu. You go through it. Otherwise, if you try burning it onto the CD, like, say, burn to CD, it won't work. Something like that. I forget. There's like a couple ways of doing it.
It worked with 2010. This time
I
was
playing
around with the image that I downloaded.
I mean, if you need help, I'm doing the tutoring here. I'm Pat. So if anyone needs any help with installing, or if you need help with any of the homeworks or anything like that, I'll be around.
And he's already taken the course.
Yeah, I've already taken the course. I've taken the advanced course. It's awesome. If you need help, just let me know. And I'll be here today, 2-4. Tomorrow, 11 to 3. So, in this classroom.
So if you want to bring your computer in, he'll even help you install.
Yep.
Okay. This doesn't have a... I have
that's fine.
Attachment.
Yeah.
Okay. I record all classes, so just know that when you speak, you are being recorded. I record all classes, and I post the recordings up on the web under audio so that you can access them and hear all of the lectures. Smartboard, I take pictures of the screen as to what I'm doing here, and I post the smartboard as well. So essentially, if you're not in class, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and there's 20 or 21 of you in the class. So there's clearly a few people that are not in the class. Okay, so people that want to take it online are welcome to. This is a hybrid course. Usually I teach student option. I teach student option in the fall, hybrid in the spring. But I happen to know I'm going to be missing for a couple of days. And so it's a hybrid class, which means those days will be online. Okay, I've got something I need to do in April for 2 days, and I probably will lose a day in February. So otherwise, I will be here. You can choose whether to come or not. In other words, consider it a student option course. You can come to class or not come to class, take it on the line. That's fine, either way. Okay, so it's your option which way you want to take it. Okay, let's see. The syllabus, 80%, here's the book, and 80% of your grade is homework. 10% is for being a responsible person, i.e., I take late work, but if you pass it all in May, you can kiss the responsible human being goodbye. And that sort of thing. Okay, so I take it, but I don't subtract points when I'm correcting it, but I do subtract points from responsibility. I have the firm theory that I want you to learn this. So, I was a lousy student, okay? Which meant that when somebody passed me back something and they had comments on it, if we were done with that topic, I kind of ignored them. I did ignore them. I didn't bother to read them because there wasn't any mileage in it. I was moving on to the next thing. So, I am basically against that theory because I also didn't learn a lot on those places. So, essentially, you pass in homework if I decide that you are not showing me that you understand the work, in other words, the homework's got errors in it and it's messed up, I'm going to pass it back to you without a grade, and I'm going to say fix and resubmit. I don't penalize for that, except that you can't get an A-plus on it. You can only get an A-plus on the assignment if it's right the first time, but you can still get an A on it. So I don't penalize when I pass it back, but I want you to fix and resubmit, and there is no grade in the grade book until you do that. Okay, so you need to fix and resubmit. I think it's important that you learn the stuff. And it's your problem that you happen to have somebody that didn't read the stuff. Okay, Dream Spark invitation should have gone out. Yes, no, maybe?
Dream Spark?
Once you get it once, I don't think you get it again.
Yeah, it's only good for a semester.
I got it in the first semester.
Yeah, but it's only good for a semester, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get an invitation.
Yeah, nothing yet.
I haven't gotten anything.
Okay, you should be getting it soon. And then you can download the full thing.
If you can use the one from last semester, then awesome. But if not, then...
I don't think you can, because I try circulating stuff on it.
Yeah, I think it dies at the end of the semester. But you should get it again, because any class you're in that requires a Microsoft product, you can get it, and this requires a Microsoft product.
Yeah.
You know, I use the Express version a lot. I have the full version installed, but again, it's not on the computer on my desk. The computer on my desk is the Express version, and it works fine for this course. An Express version can be downloaded from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Okay. Examples, SmartBoard, and audio are the three things that you're going to be mainly looking at. As I said, a lot of the examples I wrote are in 2010, and you may get a notice when I try to load them, although I don't think you usually do. But essentially, there wasn't any changes between 2010 and 2012, and I suspect 2013 in the introductory information. They basically got that ironed out. then I've got some stuff up from .NET that we will actually look at, and those, it will tell you it's the wrong version, but it will put it together so that you can look at them. And we won't go back as far as version 6. But believe it or not, I still get calls for people who would like somebody they can program in VB6. Because there's quite a few companies in Fall River that have apparently decided to stick with VB6. It wasn't a bad version. So, oh, look what I did. I didn't take down the help day on March 3rd.
Very good.
Okay, I think I should take that down, or maybe there will be a help day on March 3rd. Who knows? But I think I should take that down. Okay, so, most of you have had me before. Is there anything I should have said? I've said it too many times today.
Emails, assignments, just do them, 8% of grade.
Every week I put up a new week of, but I don't take down the old one. As I said, I will accept late assignments, and so I don't take down the old one. It's still up there, and so you can keep working on them. So by the end of the semester, there's 15 week ofs up there. Questions? Okay, if you don't have any questions, we'll assume you can figure it out. If you have questions, ask.
Yep.
Both Pat and I are reasonably good at answering questions, so ask. Homework is due the Thursday after it is assigned. Okay, so assignments are due by Thursday at midnight on the week after they were assigned. So anything I assign this week is due next Thursday. Okay. And you will get an assignment this week, and it's basically to write a simple VB. If you took CIS 120, you can probably write that based on what you learned in 120, because it's essentially asking for pretty much the same things that we covered in 120. Okay, so I'm going to go into examples, and we're going to look at some of these examples up at the top. Only I clicked, yeah. So, what we need to do is go in and download a few of these, and we'll go in to download the intro one and take a look at that, okay? So, I want to save the file and open it. That's right. I hate this. It doesn't tell me where it saved it. I have to go into downloads.
Oh, no. If you go to just go to the little arrow on the side. Open up Firefox again.
What did I just do?
Just open up that webpage there. Go to the top. See the little arrow pointing down?
Yeah.
No, you can cancel on that. So go to the right, far right top.
Oh, yeah.
See the little arrow? Click on that. Now click on the folder right there.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Far right.
See, I'm learning about Windows all the time.
Yeah, you can click on that or... There you go. So that's where it is.
I knew I had to go into downloads, that's where it puts it. I really like it much better when they used to let me pick where I would like to save this.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Okay. You probably have to go back one to unzip it.
Right, but I've got to click on this, okay, and unzip it. Extract all.
There you go.
Okay. So that's what you have to do. And I really hate the fact that it puts it under download as opposed to letting me put it on the T drive.
Yeah, okay. So anybody need help with this? Like trying to get there, trying to unzip, anything like that?
And
don't be afraid to raise up your hand. It's cool. Alright. Yeah, to download. Okay, now to do it. Now go to go to the downloads one right here. Okay, right click on that. And you have to, since it's a zip file, you have to extract it. So go to extract all. Just hit extract. Alright, there. And we'll open it up.
I forgot about that arrow. That was good.
And then if you go to downloads right here, you can see now that was made, that folder here. So double click on that. Yep. Double click.
Okay.
And then you can double click on that SNL to open it up. Oh, I got black all over my hand.
Good for you.
I don't know what to do.
The next thing we're going to do is open up Visual Studio 2012. So we're going to go in, and we're going to open up Visual Studio 2012. Actually.
So now if you want to open this up, open up the SLN file.
I think I've got it down here someplace.
What's up?
No, I don't see it there. Okay, so Visual Studio 2012.
Yes, this Visual Studio 2012 takes forever to open on some of these computers, at least. I don't know how yours will run, but most of the time it runs really slow when it first opens up. 2013, too. They're all slow and very slow.
They have a better program than this. That's what they really need.
Well, I suspect people that program in it for a living open it when they come in the morning and never close it.
Yeah, probably.
So it just is there all day. And okay, well, I'm getting my coffee, it loads.
Yeah, right.
But you can basically use this for every programming language almost, right?
I don't know. Some of them, it just, like as I said, I did some reading. I didn't try it with PHP, and it seemed to me to be why would I bother? You know, it was adding another layer in there that just didn't seem to me to make a lot of sense.
Yours is moving a lot faster than theirs.
Yes.
It, like, they still have the bar that said, oh, yours is going now, but it said, like, opening.
Somebody will come into class, you gotta sign on.
Yeah, so it's probably a good idea. Yeah. When I took this in, I just used strictly 2012. I opened this every time when I first came in. Like,
what went through that at the end of the year?
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Did it.
Now, what about Visual Studio that Eco is using? 13.
I think it runs just Peachy. I think it opens
13
up
opens
right.
Faster.
Yeah, I had a lot of linker issues with 2012 and downloading it to my home computer.
Yeah.
I didn't have that issue with 2013 at all.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So,
and he said that the reason that there were so many issues with this is because it wasn't just me, there was other people in the class that were having issues with it. And he said it, he thinks it was like unfinished. But it works good for Visual Basic because I use it for Visual Basic.
Okay, now we're still waiting. Waiting.
You may want to try out 2013.
There we go.
Yours is set.
Yeah, I mean, I can put 13 on my machine if people prefer to use 13. But just,
I don't really know.
I don't think there's much of a difference either, because, like,
I don't think there is either. But 12 is what's here in the labs, and I just think it's easier to be compatible across the board. And I have 12 at home, 12 here, and 12 in the book.
Is that 13
up
here? Yeah,
12. Okay. It's like the slowest computer.
So when you come to class for Visual Basic, please open up your Visual Basic once you come in here. So just
and remind me to do it at the end of my previous class.
Yeah.
Okay, the start page you really don't need. It will go away anyway, but I'm just going to close it and get rid of it. I can now come in here, and if I want to make a new page, I can say File New Project. Okay, so if I want to make a new page, it's File, New Project. And I click on that, and this is the screen that comes up after File, New Project. What I want to do is click on the Windows Phone application, and I want to put it where I want it to be and give it a name. Now, the key things here are that if you start a project and then you move it, you usually are not going to be able to run. Okay? So, this screen is probably one of the most important screens. Make your decision now about what you want to call it and where you want to put it. And when it's all done, then you can move the whole thing as a whole, and that's fine. But if you're kind of midstream and you move it, it's problematic. When you send it to me, you're going to zip it up. So you're going to get the program working, then you're going to zip it up. You're going to send me the zip, and then I unzip it and run it. Okay? So you're going to send me the zipped version. Okay, create directory for the solution. I usually check because I want each solution in a different directory. And it creates a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And so I just wanted to make a directory and put it in that directory. So I'm going to say I want to call this First 2015. Okay? Notice that it repeats that down here. Name and solution name. if you're using the Express version, it doesn't give you the opportunity to put in all three of these. So if you are doing the Express version, once you've got it set and open, I always do a save as and save it right away. Save all. Save everything. So now I am going to put this, if you don't have any place else to put it on the T drive. I'm going to browse and I'm going to put it on my flash drive. And I would strongly recommend that you bring a flash drive and you save it and put things on your flash drive so that you can then take them home and use them if you want to. So, I have Windows Forms application clicked. I have named it, I've picked my location, and I've said create a directory for the solution. And I want to do all three of those things to make my future life easy. Okay? Now, again, if you have the Express version, you're not going to see all of these possibilities. This is a full version. If you have the Express version, you're only going to see a few up at the top, but you will see Windows Form application. Okay? So now I'm clicking OK.
Calling it on first 2015 under either T drive or your flash drive.
Now, these are the four areas that you want opened. If you are missing any of these areas, you can go in to Project and you can open them. So they're all available through Project. Tools. Used to be available for tools. Okay, so what I've got is I've got the Solution Explorer, which gives the name that I gave it, first 2015, and it gives a form, and here is the form, and the form hasn't been filled in at all, so there's the form sitting there. It gives me the properties, and right now it's giving me the properties for the form, and it gives me the toolbar, okay? Toolbox. So I have those four things, and then the design area is where the form is. So I have these four things open, and if they're not, I probably want to get them. Now, if later on you may not want the toolbox open, that little pin there allows you to close it and then open it by putting the pin down. So if later on when you finish putting all of the things on the form and you're just writing code, you may not want the toolbox open, you can just unpin it with that pin. Now with any of these, you can, if you right-click on them, you can say, I want to see the view of something, I want to rename, I want all of this sort of stuff. And so you can do a lot of it. What I would recommend not doing is floating. Getting it back once you put it into float, I have to relearn it every time I start a course in it because I never do it. But once you have clicked on float and it's floating around there, to get it back is a real pain in the neck. I mean, and basically you get it back eventually by clicking on the pin and all that sort of stuff and dragging it and all that.
You can dock it.
Right. But sometimes that docking doesn't work quite the way it's supposed to. Okay, so here is my form. Now, the common controls are what we're going to be talking about for a while. And the common controls are over here in the toolbox. And so common controls is a click on, you want to click on common controls. So, With common controls, I can drag things over to my form and just put them on. So that's a label that I just dragged over. I dragged over a label. Okay? So I've got my label sitting there. If I want to drag over a text box, I can take that and just drag that over. And I now have a text box up there. Okay? So I can drag my tools to the form and have my tools to work with. Now, each one of those tools has a property or a series of properties. So if I come over here and click on label one, here are the properties associated with label one. And I like them alphabetically, so I always click on alphabetically rather than by category. But you can click here and see them alphabetically or by category. As I said, I prefer them alphabetically, so that's what I do. Now, if I want to, I can label this and call it LBL, and let's say I'm putting in a name. So LBL name. Okay? So I want to call that LBL name. And when I click away from it, it's now got that name. Now, your book makes the point that you should definitely change the names of things you're going to refer to when you're writing code. But labels you frequently don't refer to, and the book makes the point that if you want to keep them called label 1, label 2, label 3, go ahead. Okay? I tend to, when I'm trying to look professional, I tend to put in the LBL name on them. But when I'm feeling lazy, I take that and do the label 1, label 2, label 3. So I've now given it a name of name. Now the one thing I do want to do is come down here to the text where it says label 1, and I'm going to change that to first 2015. Oh no, this is name, sorry. This is name. So I'm writing name colon. And now if I click up here, notice it now says name colon. Okay? So I've given it a name, and that you want to do because on the form I don't want to print it out label 1, label 2, label 3. The property that I changed was the text property. The text property tells what is displayed in that object. Okay? So I changed the name, and I said I'm going to call it label name, and I changed its text property to say I'm going to call it text. Now I can go and change a loader properties. If I want to come up here and look at the font for that, I can go in and say, okay, I want this to be bold. And bold of light, let's say, whatever that's going to do. And that makes it look like that. So I can go in and I can also change the for color. So I can go in and say I want to customize the color and I want it to be blue. So now I have got a blue label there that says name. So I can go in and there's a load of properties there. Some of them you'll probably never touch. Others you'll use a lot. And so I've gone in now and I've changed the font and I've changed its color and I've basically changed properties on it. Okay? So now I have the text box and that's still called text box 1. I'm going to change its name, and I'm calling it TXT name, okay? And the book makes the point that this is going to be used, so it should be renamed, and that the classic way of doing it on a text box is to write TXT and then give the name starting with a capital letter, okay? So, will it work if you don't do it that way? Absolutely. Will you get hired? Probably not, because it kind of looks like you're clueless if you don't do some of these conventions that they think are a good idea. Yeah.
In the future, when we do the coding, that TXT and LBL is so helpful. If you're trying to find your text box, all you have to do is put TXT, and it'll pop up automatically. You'll see it in the future.
But right.
That stuff's really good.
So now I've changed its name, and now if I click right up here, notice I click right below in the properties, it's now showing me the two things that I have. Okay, label name, text name. Those are the two things that I've put up there so far, and it's showing me the names of them.
Where are the properties that you clicked on?
I just clicked right down here where it says Form 1, System Windows, Forms, Form. Oh. If you click on that, it will show you all of the things that you've created so far. Okay. So now I am going to put in a button. So I'm now putting in a button here. Okay. And again, it calls it button one. I'm going to change it to say BTN click, because this is going to be my button that I want to click. So I'm changing it to say BTN click. Now again, I want to change its text to say click, so that the button says click. So I'm changing its text to say click. Okay. So the button now says click. Yeah.
I just want to point out something just go back. If you're missing any of these menus at all, go to View and you'll find that, like that thing, like it'll say Toolbox underneath View, and you can pull it right up, or Properties window or Solution Explorer. It's all under there. In case, like, you know, you open up and go, where's everything? Properties window is right down here.
See, there's the Solution Explorer.
So, just a heads up, in case you get lost. Maybe,
there's Toolbox. They're all in here, and you can bring them up. I think I said project before, and it should have been view. I think I actually said project without thinking.
Yeah,
it's under view.
Yeah, one day you're going to open it up, you're not going to be able to find anything. You're like, why is this all blank? All you have to do is just go to view and find your windows.
Especially in the lab. At home, as I said, I have to look at this every time before I start teaching the course, because at home, it stays the way it's supposed to stay, because I don't mess it up. But when you're in here, somebody else can be sitting at your computer, and God knows what they did to it.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to do more repair work here. Okay, so now I have a button to click, and now I'm going to go and put on another text box where I'm going to basically say hello to whoever came in. And so I'm going to call this text hello. Okay, now, notice that for both the label and the button, I had to set the name and the text. For the text box, I only had to set a name because it didn't come in with anything written in it. A few versions ago, it used to. And so you had to go and change the text as well for the text box, but they finally figured out that nobody really wanted anything there. And so I don't remember what version first made the change, but somebody did. And so you don't have to make the change anymore. So I'm saving that as text hello. Okay, so now I've got my form laid out. And again, I could have played with color, with size, with any of these on any of these boxes. So now what I'm going to do is actions happen when I do something. So So I'm going to start out by using the click event, which is the most often used event probably. So I'm going to click on it and double click on it, and it comes up and shows me the place where I can write the code. So I double clicked on it, and it put together a click event, button click.click. So it put together the click event. So this is saying if the user clicks on the button, this is what's going to happen. Okay, that's what the click event is. If the user clicks on the button, this is what's going to happen. So what I want to do is I want to say text hello dot text. Okay, so what I'm saying here is I am giving the name of the object, which is text hello. And I'm saying dot text, and that dot text is the property. I want to change that property. Okay, this is the object. And I want to change the property. I want to change the text property. So I'm saying the name of the field, whatever I called it, dot text. I'm changing the text property. And then I say equals. Notice that nice little curly thing? It's telling me that this is wrong. Not that it's specifically what I wrote is wrong, but it's incomplete. I left it. And so just that sitting there alone is wrong because it's not going to do anything. So it's putting the squiggle on it. So now I'm going to say equals. And then I'm going to say hello, concatenated with text name dot text. And notice also, when I started typing this and I got to, it shows me the things that I can put in there. Some people really like that. I find it wastes time for me because I'm a fast enough typist to take my hands off the keyboard and click on that, basically, that I can do it faster just keeping typing. But if you like it, it's there. So I have now said text hello.text equals hello concatenated with, the ampersand does concatenation for me, concatenated with text name.text. Okay, so if I now run this, and notice what I clicked on to run it. Actually, let me go back. See that green half a diamond? If you click on that green half a diamond, it will run. So I'm clicking on that, and it's now coming up. And I really wish I could make that go away. Anyway, and so I'm going to say Jane, and I'm going to click, and it now says, hello, Jane. Okay? Now, what's the problem with this?
Space.
That's right. I don't have a space with it. So, how can I fix this?
The space after hello.
I can do a space after hello, or I can embed a space in hello. So I can come in here and embed the space in there.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Embed that. Or I could have done another concatenate. I could have done text hello.text equals hello concatenated with quote space quote concatenated with text name.text. Okay. But if I put the space in here, then it prints out hello space and concatenates that with the name. So I'm going to see the whole thing. Okay, so if I now run this and say Dawn, and I click, it now says hello Dawn, and I've got the space in there. Okay, now, if I go back here and I change this so that I do not have an accurate name in there. Notice what it does. It underscores that field to let me know that there is a problem with that field, that that name doesn't exist. Okay? So Visual Basic is very good about yelling at you appropriately, not the white screen of death like JavaScript. It actually tells you what your problem is. And if I try to run this, it says there were build errors. Would you like to continue and run the latest successful build? And I'm going to say no, and it goes back so that I can fix it. Okay. Yeah.
Can I show something about that TXT thing?
Sure.
Just want to show something really quick, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Just really quick, that whole TXT LBL thing. This is why it's easy. Like, it's easy to kind of work with. Say you had a whole bunch of text files, or text boxes. You put TXT and there's both of them right there. Say there was like 9 of them. You can look at it right there and go, okay. So she likes to type it out, and sometimes I do too. But you can also tab. If you press the tab button immediately, it goes right in there. And, or, you know, you could just go, okay, it's up and down, yeah. Text, a tab.
Right.
So it's a lot. I mean, it's up to you how you move.
I dropped out of keyboarding before we got to the numbers and the stuff on the side. So it's easier for me to do the letters.
If you do everything with TXT in the front with text boxes, LBLs with labels, whatnot, you'll see everything you put up there. And then, like, say you're missing something, you go, oh, I didn't put TXT in front of it. Then you know you didn't name something correctly. And you go back in and you fix it.
Right. The other thing is that if you look up here, this gives you all of the names you've used. So if I click in the area that says General, you can see all of the names you've used there as well. Okay, so if I just click up here under General, it shows me all of the names that I have generated. And so I can then click on one of those and click on Label Name or something, and text name would have been a better one. Okay. And then with the declarations over here, we'll get into that, but they have a lot of different events that you can have. So the click event that we were talking about is under declarations. There's the click event. Okay, and we'll look at other events. Yeah.
That whole click event thing, this is the name. This is what it's telling it's doing. Handles, button click, dot click. That dot click is the event.
Right.
That's the name of the sub. We'll just hit that for now.
Yeah, yeah. No, right. So this is the subroutine that will cause, that will happen. This is the code that will happen if you click on that button, the button click event. So if you click on that button, this subroutine is going to happen. And what it's going to do, it says, is it handles the click event. Now, it handles the code that you get when you click. Okay? So now if you want to save this, you go in and I do a save all. And you do a save all, and you've got the latest version of it. Then you can zip it up and move it wherever you want to move it. But if you do the save all. Now, as I said, in the Express version, you should come in as soon as you start and do a save all. Because the Express version doesn't do a complete save. And so you should come in and do the save all if you're using the Express version right at the beginning so you don't forget to do it, basically. So right at the very beginning when you're starting to do it. Okay? So that is a basic Visual Basic program. Yeah.
One more thing. And I keep thinking of these things like, oh man, I should have known.
We're team teaching this.
So check this out. One last thing. You're going to notice, you double-clicked on that click button, right? And it brought up that button, private sub-click button thing right there. That whole, okay. So pretend I'm going to double click on this text box. Something else popped up. It says text name, text change, all this stuff. You don't need it now. That's just nonsense. You don't need it. So what you do is just delete it and it's all good.
Just to, for future reference, because you may be like, what did I do? Why is that there?
No, right. Right.
You don't need it. And you can, if you want to do it again, you can double click. If you click on the outside of it, something else will pop up. Just kind of make sure you know what you're clicking on when you double click there.
Right. Couple of things, as he was showing you. This is the Form 1BB. This is the design. If I come over here and click on just Form 1BB there, that brings up the code. So I also can go back and forth between code, form, code, form. Okay? And then as he said, every time you click on something or do something, it brings up and makes a new event. What I did there is I just clicked on a blank place on the form, and it brought up the form load, which means it will be executed when the form is loaded. Well, if I don't have anything to do when the form is loaded, I can just get rid of this. Because leaving a lot of these with nothing inside of it, again, looks like you're clueless. Okay, so you want to get rid of those. Now, this is the load, and it handles loading the program. So if I wrote, for example, message box, welcome. Okay. Now I've got something that is going to happen. I wrote message box welcome under the form load. And if I run this, notice the welcome immediately pops up. So as soon as the form gets loaded, the welcome pops up. Okay? And the message box, there are very much more sophisticated ways to write a message box, but this is kind of the quick and easy way. And then when I say okay, there's the form. So when it got loaded, it brought up the message box first, and then it brought up the form.
Can you show that again?
So if I run this, I've got, okay, first of all, I went back to the form, and I clicked just anywhere in the form that's blank.
Okay.
And then it knows I'm talking about the form, so it makes the form one load. Okay, so I now have the form one load, and it says it handles my base dot load, meaning handles the form that I'm currently working with, dot load. So if there's something you want to do right at the beginning, you can do it in the load event. So now if I run this, it's got message box welcome, and if I run this, it comes up with a message box that says welcome. Okay? And then it comes up with the form. Now, notice message box does something else for you, and we'll talk about it when we get there. But message box stops everything. The world has come to a grinding halt now. If nobody touches this and I come back tomorrow, it will look exactly the same. Okay? And there are times when you want to stop it and let the user decide when to restart, and message box is a great thing for doing that. It restarts as soon as I hit OK. Then it brought up the form. And so I've now got Susan, and I click and it says, hello, Susan. Now I'm looking at this and saying, I can't read those very well. So if I want to go back to my design and go into that text box and say, okay, I want to make the font in that text box 14 instead, and I want to make the font in this text box 14, and maybe I want to make the font color there red, so custom red, and now if I run this, I'm getting welcome, and I'm going to put David, and notice it's big now.
Send me
two. Okay, so now I've got it in big letters, and I've got the answer even in red. So that's what you can do with the properties, is go and set those after I look at it and say, you know, I can't read that very well. I'd rather have it stand out in red. Okay? Questions? Okay, so what I did is I've got to do a save all again. So I'm going to do a file, save all. And now if I go to my flash drive, and I think I put it on this one, and there's first 2015. So that was the name of it. And when I look in it, that's all of the stuff that I have. Okay, that's what it created. So when I said to save it, first of all, because I said to save it in a folder, it made a folder here that said 2015. Okay, so there is first 2015. When I click on that folder, it shows me everything inside it. So if I drag the entire folder someplace else, it's going to work all right. It's just if I start at one place, finish at another place, that I get into trouble. Okay? So then I go back and I zip up that whole folder and send it to me when you're sending it. Okay? And if you go back in here, you can see that it generates a lot of stuff. Okay? And you've got, you know, all this stuff that got generated as it went along.
Yeah.
So it's, that's why it takes so long. Okay, it's got to generate all that stuff. Magic happens. Okay, so now if I were to close this and say file, close solution. Okay, I'm just closing the solution. File, close solution. And then I say, okay, I want to open this. So I go to File, Open Project, and I go to my flash drive where I stored it, and I go to First 2015. Then I click on the SLN, and that will open it back to where it was. So I click on the SLN, and that opens it back to where it was. Okay?
Yeah. It's a pain in the butt when you first go into this, or trying to find stuff and sending stuff. Just remember to grab the whole thing.
Right. If you put it in a separate folder, and then zip up the folder, that's the best guarantee I can give you that it's going to work.
You take it from the most outside folder. So, like,
yes.
That's how it works. So go
the folder, because it said it establishes a folder. And you're right, that's exactly what they want to do.
The folder that's the very outside. So, if, like, whatever it's called, whatever you called it, the default one's
there
Windows
it is.
Application. Yeah. You go to this one, right click.
And if you right click and you see everything, then you know, whoops, I got to go back.
Yeah, because you need everything. You can't just send that SNL file. If you do that, it's just. It'll mess up your program. So what you want to do is, from the first folder, right-click on that, hit, it's like send to zip. Right-click on that, Professor Grosser? I can't remember. Send to, and then you go to compress zip folder, and that will compress everything that's actually inside it. You can send that, but some emails don't like .zip, or they don't like the .exe file that's in that folder. So you're going to have to make it that .zip in a different extension. Make it a JPEG, make it whatever. You can send it to Professor Grosser, work out PG.
Right. I mean, the other thing is you don't have...
The extension?
Extension.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so basically, once you've got this folder, okay, I mean, I just go and zip it separately because I'm not usually sending it. So when I finish a project, I just zip it and save it. And then when I'm doing the email, I just go and attach them all. Because, you know, on the whole, I'm not going to give you just one problem. I'm going to ask you to send me a bunch of them at the beginning at least. And so I just zip them and save them. And then I attach them as I go. Now, what he was saying is Gmail especially is not happy with sending executables. And I think there's one other that's not happy with it either. But Gmail is the one that comes to mind. And if you change the zip to something else, and I think he changes it to JPEG, you can change it to really any extension that is not an executable. And so far, Gmail hasn't got smart enough to figure out that people could do that. Sooner or later, they're going to. But they haven't got there yet, so you can still pull that off. The other thing is you can just make another account and send it from a different account. Because right now, I think Gmail... I think there's one other that I ran into it with, but Gmail's the biggest problem. But when you do that, just put a note in there that says changed the extension.
Yeah.
Because I've more than once clicked on the JPEG and said, So, you know, give me a little note that says change the extension.
Yeah.
If you don't want to say change it to EXE, I can figure that out, but just have me change the extension. Okay. The other one we were going to look at was PayCalc. And now I can't remember where I put it.
Did you download it already?
Yeah.
Is it in downloads?
Yeah, but I thought I copied it out to my flash drive too. But apparently I didn't. Okay, so open project, and I've got to go. Could have sworn I did it. Because I'd like to play with that version. No, apparently I didn't. Okay, so go to downloads. It is in downloads. I really did do it there, didn't I?
Not open before the 2015 thing. Should be there.
Yeah, I could have sworn I did it. Yeah, right. But I'm curious what I did with it now.
Go to recent, if you hit cancel and go to recent files and go open right in there. Go to the bottom there, right above that.
Yeah, right. No. Huh. No, I don't see it. Okay, has anybody else managed to get it open?
Yes.
Open project. Good for you. I'm still trying to figure out what I did. Downloads. Why am I not seeing it there? I guess I need to download again, right?
If you need close Wi-Fi, it should still be in the arrow.
There it is, paycalculate.zip, maybe. And I've got two of them there. Okay, so there's paycalculate.zip.
Did you extract it?
I thought I did. Yeah, I need this.
One more back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Right, so open. or extract all. I did extract all, I think. Extract.
Yeah, you already got one.
Okay. I'm now opening in another version, and it's working fine, but I don't understand why it wasn't coming up. I mean, that's the other thing you can do, is if you just go and find the SLN version and click on it, it's going to open Visual Studio for you. And we'll just open it in Visual Studio. Still can't figure out what I did wrong, but that's all right. And I'm probably not paying enough attention. Okay, so on this one, I've got four different buttons. And so if you notice, I have a routine for every button. Okay, so every one of those buttons I clicked on, and it made a routine. So I have, if you look at the buttons, I have a button calc, I have a button close, a button clear, and command calc more, which I called a command rather than a button, which is acceptable. Okay? The older version used to call them CMD for command button. The newer versions call them button. And so we tend to use BTN now, but CMD is also acceptable for a button. It's a command button. Okay, so there's my code. And so what I've got is those four buttons, and each one of those buttons will cause a different event to happen. And I'm doing click events, so each one of them, if you go and look, each one of these is a click event. Underscore click, underscore click, underscore click, underscore click. And if you go over to the side, they all say handles, and it gives the name of the button, and then says click. So it handles the click event. Okay? So then I came and I filled out my form and I put in a bunch of labels. And if I look down here at the names, you can see that I've got all of the names there. And so I call them label gross pay, label hours work, label name, label pay per hour. Okay? So I've got all of those labels. Then I've got all those text boxes, and then I've got all the buttons. Okay? So now, if I run this, I'm actually going to bring up the code while I run it. Nope. Okay, if I run this, you can see a couple of things happening. So I'm going to put in Susan, hours worked is 40, and pay per hour is 40, and then I'm saying calculate gross pay or calculate. So the first one I'm going to do is calculate gross pay, and it comes up and it says 1600. Okay, so that button was apparently called button click, button calc rather. This button was called button calc. And it did that code right up there. So it took the text pay per hour, multiplied it by the text hours work, using the text property of both of them, and put it up on the form. Okay? So that's that button. Then if I hit the clear button is going to, wait a minute, I got to get the ink layer out. If I hit the clear button, it clears everything out. Now, there's a variety of ways to clear things, and we'll look at those as we go along. But this one says, I want to do the clear method on that box. So it's dot clear with the two parentheses. So I'm doing the clear method on that box. Okay, and that's kind of a function, basically, the Visual Basic provides for you in order to empty it out. So I'm saying clear, and I put it on each one of the boxes. So the clear module is being executed, and that box, the text box, is being cleared. Then when I want to close, I click on the close button, and it does me close, meaning close the current form, whatever the current form is that I'm on will be closed. So me close closes the form. Then down below, I have a more advanced calculation. So if I put this in and I've got 40 and 40 again, and I say calculate down there, notice I got it with a dollar sign. Okay, so I got it formatted such that it has the dollar sign and the comma in it. Okay, so what I did down in the bottom one is I started out and the DIM defines variables. So every programming language has a way to define variables. And variables are simply areas in memory that have been set up that will be available for the duration of the program to hold data that you're working with. So I have set up a DIM work paper hour. Lots of times I start out my variables with work, meaning they're a work area. And so I put WK lots of times. You don't have to, you can put anything you want. But I've got work paper hour as double. That means a big decimal. I've got work hours work as double, again, a decimal. So I can put in 40.45. I've got gross pay as double, and I did them separately and together. So this shows that the DIM can define more than one thing, or it can define just one thing. It doesn't matter. Now, the work areas don't have a load of properties like something on the form does. So when I am doing a calculation and putting it in the work area, I don't say work hours work dot text, because it doesn't have a lot of properties. It's just an area in memory, and I'm just putting it in that area in memory. What I said here was convert to double. So I said take in whatever they put in the text box and convert it. CW means convert this to W, to double. So it converts it to a number to assure me that I have a number. Okay, up in the top I just said, let's hope it is. Now I'm saying convert it if you can. And then I did the calculation. And then I said, all right, now take the calculation, which I called work gross pay. And I said work gross pay dot to string C. Means convert it to a string and make it currency. The C means currency. Now, what a toString means is, when I did the calculation, I wanted it to be a number. Double is a number. But once I want to convert it and show it with a comma and a dollar sign, it's no longer a number. Because commas aren't numbers and dollar signs aren't numbers. So I basically said, convert it to string and put in the currency, make it currency. String means text. It means in the form of text. And so I can add a comma and add a dollar sign to it. And that's that program. Okay, now, I realize that none of you had the same problem, apparently, that I did in downloading. But you can pretty much figure out what ones I'm going to do next. And I'm going to make sure I download them at home, because it works at home. It doesn't put it in the download area. It doesn't do da-da-da-da. And so I usually put it on my flash drive and have it there. And I'm saying to you, basically, you can consider doing the same. If you come in with the next set of examples, you know, on your disk, on your flash drive, then you're ready to go. As opposed to having to download, unzip, etc. So, you know, if you just look at what I'm going to do next, you know, you can get them ready.